Hey friends, Jamie Grace here. And depending on what time of the year, either every single Saturday or one or two Saturdays out of the month, I host Wait It Out on Instagram at 5 p.m. Pacific time. It's a time for people that are single, dating, or even those that are like in a full-on relationship and they're just trying to figure some things out. It's a great place to come and talk about dating and relationships. And I host that on my Instagram. It's an Instagram live that we do. What you're about to hear is one of those episodes. And so some of the audio might be a little bit like doo-doo-doo. Because it's from an Insta Live, but I hope that you guys enjoy it. And if you enjoyed enough, I hope that you will subscribe to this podcast, of course. And I hope that you will hop on over to Instagram and make sure that you check out the next episode of Wait It Out. Riding with my baby, but today I'll be singing with my girls, singing with my ladies. All the girls with a ring on the hand, gonna hold it out, cause we can, yes we can. You guys, I wanted you all to know, like, so bad how serious I am about this tonight that I have notes, actual printed out notes. In about 60 seconds, we're going to be talking about how picky is too picky for singles. This is for men. This is for women. And some of you guys might feel some type of way, but this is going to be for 18 and up. If you are 16 or 17 and you're like, no, I can handle it, I trust you. You gotta trust you. If you're like 15 and you've already had like, you know, a couple boyfriends, a couple girlfriends, yeah, you can probably handle it. But the stuff we're talking about is for grown folks that desire marriage sometime within the next few years, like, in the concept of like, no, I'm a grown up. You know what I mean? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm really excited about it. Someone said, please save it. I got you. Take a sip of this water. It's going to be good, guys. Let's just like all pray that like I don't get so sassy that I sound like one of those married women that just like needs to leave people alone. You know what I mean? I actually went back before. Like, I made my notes for this. It's 4 pages, y'all. I'm gonna try to keep it short because I know y'all have things to do. But I made my notes and then I went and thank you, these are new glasses. I'm trying to look like an adult. People say I look like I'm like 13. I think it's because I don't really wear eyeliner. I just have on like foundation and brows, but I'm trying to, for people to not see me and Bella and be like, oh, Bella, is that your daughter? I made my notes and then I went back and I listened to my podcast on this that I did 2 days before I got engaged. Oh my gosh, she used to be single. So, and all the stuff was like the same, except that was a 5-minute episode and this is going to be more than 5 minutes. I'm trying to take my phone out of the case. So yeah, I think it'll be good. Oh, I had the questions like total, or the comments like scrolled. I wasn't seeing any of your comments. Someone said, expecting marriage in the next few years, try expecting marriage like yesterday. I respect that. Yeah, I respect that. Okay, guys, we're going to get started. How picky is too picky? Should you have a list? All that stuff, you know what I mean? Okay, so let's do this. I meant to do this before, but this is my first like 18 and up one. So I hadn't done it before yet. I'm getting like so like, like overwhelmed and like nervous. I'm just like, I get so nervous. Like I pray before this and I'm genuinely like just praying that the Holy Spirit will, let me not do that thing where I say I pray the Lord will move, because I know he will. Let me pray that I'm humble enough to let him, because I don't like doing the prayer like, just Lord, will you please show up? Like, no, he's gonna show up. It's just because he's here. He didn't like, you know, he wasn't like, oh, I forgot to go by California where Jamie is. I'm just praying that like, you know what I mean? I'm praying that like my like passion of like what I want to say isn't overtaken by what he has given me to say. Okay. So here's the thing. So it's going to be 18 and up, all about how picky is too picky. 18 and up for singles. How picky is too picky? Okay, guys, so here's the thing. The first thing of all this, I'm not even kidding you guys. I have a list. Okay, so this live, again, I already shared this, but I'm gonna share it again. Look at us, we're a real family. We've got one of those electrical things. This is for singles, 18, say, amen, I love that prayer that someone posted. This is for 18 and up. For singles that desire, men and women that desire marriage, that desire a long-term relationship, and that desire to go on dates and to date in a way that would help them to get to know someone better, right? Okay, great. So that's what we're gonna be talking about. We're gonna be talking about if it's too picky. Now, I wanna make sure, in case you don't know, I'm a Christian, and so the things that I say come from a Christian worldview, come from that perspective. And so that is, you know, the perspective that I'm coming from. We're gonna jump right into this. So the first thing is, why do we have standards? Why do we have pickiness? And a lot of people have them. I know that I had standards, I had that kind of stuff when I was single, because I didn't wanna end up in a relationship that didn't make sense for me. A lot of times, you guys know that I don't like extremes. You know that I don't like to be like, oh, you don't need to be picky, or, oh, I'm so picky, he better not wear green socks ever, because I hate the color green. I'm not about extremes. It's all about balance in life. So it's good to have standards. Let me remind you of that. It's good to have standards. Please forgive me for not knowing who said this originally, but honestly, it's, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So if you have no concept of standards, then the second someone shows up and they're like, hey, I'm naked, you're naked, you want to see if stuff fits? Then you'll be like, sure, because I don't have standards anyway. So you need to have standards. You need to have some sort of concept of, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. And that is a good thing. So now we're gonna go off to the next thing down here, which is the misconceptions about a list. So I wanna just kind of refute a couple of misconceptions that people might have about a list. Guys, if you're not prepared for tough love, I love you, but go bye-bye, because I'm not about to be all like cute and giggly for the rest of this thing. Not that I'm normally cute and giggly. That came out weird. Okay, a misconception about your list or your standards. Just because you want it doesn't mean that you'll enjoy it. Just want you to take that, right? Just want you to get that. Just because you want it doesn't mean you'll enjoy it. There might be things that you think, ooh, I want, and then you get them and you're miserable and it just doesn't make sense. And we're gonna go through what some of those things are. And the next thing that I wanna say for you guys is, just because you want it doesn't mean that you're gonna get it. I've seen situations where it's like, there's so much on a list and someone's like single. Just single, 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 which is totally great. There's nothing wrong with being single. I was so picky for the longest time. So there's nothing wrong with being picky, but I've seen people that are so, so, so picky, and they're just like, and I'm like, well, you might not get someone who's exactly 5'9½, whose shoe size is exactly this, whose favorite color is this, who was born in this state, who only listens to this radio station, who thinks that this movie is wrong. All of that stuff. Okay, so we're gonna get into the how picky is too picky in a second, but I just wanna, there's one more clarification that I wanna make, and that is, just because you want it doesn't mean you need it. That might seem so cliche, but that applies to a lot of things in our Christian walk that are very much outside of dating and relationships. You know, just because you want it, it's like, oh, I'm gonna get it, like I need it, so I'm gonna get it and I'm gonna love it. No. That's not how that makes sense. So I want to break this. I don't know if this is going to be backwards, isn't it? Okay, good. So I'll just read it. I want to break down this into four categories, because a lot of people might think, okay, well then if we don't need this, list, then we should just not have a list at all. I don't think that's a great idea. I personally like think having a concept is a great idea. You know what I mean? So I want to break this out into four categories, and then we're going to dig deep into those four categories. So the first one is conviction. These are the things that are, well, I'm just going to tell you what they are and then we'll explain them. Conviction is the first one. And then the second one is tradition. The third is interest. And the fourth is infatuation. So those four things are typically, when you're talking with your friends about the stuff you want, the stuff you're interested in, they typically will fall into either conviction, tradition, interest, or infatuation. Someone said, I feel like I'm about to get dragged, but it's necessary for growth. If you feel emotional, I don't want you guys like feel some type of way. I will save this and you can watch it later. If you like, if you're like, ooh, I need a break from Jamie Grace, dear Lord, I get it. I want you guys to feel okay. So we got conviction, tradition, interest, and infatuation. So one, your conviction, and this is all stuff that I've been praying over and writing over the last few weeks. Your conviction, these are biblically sound truths that are the foundation for your life's choices. Okay? So I'm going to tell you guys what all these are, and then we're going to go back through them and give some examples. So your convictions are your biblically sound truths that are the foundation for your life's choices. Then next up, we have tradition. And tradition, these are the preferred and or consistent choices of your family, your friends, and or your culture. A lot of us, we know what traditions are. Traditions are cool. Super cool. The next one is going to be your interest. Your interests are your personal preferences in a partner and your hopes for a relationship. You got it? Interest? Okay, great. And then the last one, meme lover 456, your profile picture makes me laugh. And then the last one is going to be infatuation. I thought that was like food in my teeth. Infatuation, things where the intention or the root speaks more to your character than your desires. Okay, so let's start back. Let's start back at conviction. People say, should I have a list? How do I know if I'm being too picky? Should I throw the list away? Should I set it on fire? Should I eat the list? I don't know. I was about to say and then poop it out, and then I realized it was kind of like crude, but then I said it anyway. I make jokes like a fourth grade boy. So, and also I have a baby, so poop is not a weird conversation in our house. I don't know why I'm talking about poop, but it's not weird to me. We all do it. And if you don't, I'm praying for you. Not in a sarcastic way. It's just something I hope that you're able to figure out. They've got good like gas. What is it? Like a stool softener. They sell them over the counter at CVS. So the first one that we're going to talk about are your convictions. And these are the things that are like, bruh, these are non-negotiables, right? And that's why when people say like, oh, you, Jamie Grace, like when I was single, people would be like, Jamie Grace, like you are too picky. You don't need to have a list. Bruh, yes, I do. Because when it comes to conviction, this stuff is important. These are non-negotiable principles for growth and for my growth and growth for the partner that'll grow alongside of you. So like things like the fruits of the spirit, the Beatitudes, these are things that I would, because of my conviction and because of my foundation in Jesus, this is the stuff that we have to agree on. Now, just because you agree on these things doesn't mean that you're anticipating or expecting perfection out of a significant other, right? Because I also have 1 Corinthians 13 on here. And that's, you know, love is patient, love is kind, right? And so you don't want to be like, oh, well, he's not patient. And the word of God says, be patient. And so I'm not going to date him because he's not patient. But if you sit down and talk with this guy, be like, hey, I feel like you seem very impatient sometimes. If his response is, get out of my face, little girl, I ain't trying to date you anyway, then dump his behind and go to Texas. But if his response is, you know what, that's something that I've been working on. The Lord has been really, you know, just working on my heart when it comes to my patience. That's a weakness of mine. I'm actually just starting a men's small group. You see what I mean? I can't tell you like verbatim what the guy's going to say and then be like, oh, if he says this, do that. But regardless of exactly how you guys are acting out biblical principles in your lives, because dear Lord, like you can have standards as high as the roof, but you're still going to be doing stuff that's that's not pleasing to God too, because we're all imperfect. But it's the heart ultimately that matters. It's the foundation ultimately that matters. And it is the action taken daily as a response to that foundation. You see what I mean? So that's the importance there. So your convictions, again, biblically sound truths that are the foundation for your life's choices. These are non-negotiables. If you're on a first date with a man, I'm speaking to the women here. If you're on a first date with a man and he says, nah, bro, like I don't do that kindness stuff. Like I'm just like, I'm not weak, whatever it is. Like you can likely be in your mind, okay, sounds like we have different foundational beliefs. You see what I love Texas, y'all. Go Cowboys. It sounds like y'all have different foundational beliefs. But if you all can agree that certain biblical principles, another one is choosing to abstain from sex until marriage. You see what I mean? That's another biblically based principle that you want to see eye to eye on with your date or your future someone. Now, if they say that they've done things in their past that they're not proud of, or if you say that you've done things in your past that you're not proud of, that doesn't mean that regarding the present, the goal is not to abstain from sex. You see what I mean? Convictions are not looking at someone's past and being like, well, I saw you cuss somebody out on Facebook 3 years ago, so I don't want to date you. Also, you perfect, Sheila? That's not how it works. Convictions are not looking at it and saying, oh, well, you used to be an alcoholic, so I won't go on a first date with you. Now, when we're talking about marrying someone that's possibly in recovery right now, that's a different conversation. I'm talking right now to single people, so we're talking about first date, second date, third date. If her conviction is my body is a temple, so I don't want to do drugs anymore, but I used to do drugs, and you look at them and you say, oh, I'm a Christian, I can't date you because of what their yesterday looks like. You see what I mean? Now that gets into being judgmental. Now that gets into holding their past against them. And Lord knows if Jesus held our past against us, another biblical principle, another thing in our convictions would be caring for the orphans and the widows. Now, a lot of us, like myself, someone said the past comes back to haunt in relationships. So yes, regardless of relationships or not, this is not talking about if the past does or does not come back in relationships. This is talking about the fact that we all do have a past. And if we allow our past to keep us from going to Olive Garden for 90 minutes and talking about goals and dreams with a compatible Jesus-loving person, I mean, besides the Rona, there's no reason why you shouldn't be going to Olive Garden with a compatible Christian person that likes your face. I'm silent for effect, but I realize I'm just being ridiculous right now. You see what I mean? So that's what I mean. So, and again, this is why I'm such an advocate of local mentors. I talk about it all the time. I say Olive Garden because one time I went to Olive Garden with like a compatible Christian person that I wasn't wildly attracted to, and like it didn't work out, and I'm glad it didn't work out because I love my husband. But I'm also like, I had a decent conversation with the guy. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm a person. He's a person. I didn't ride in his car. We both drove. It was like a nice walk. I got some free breadsticks. You know. Oh, another thing, and this is my last thing, and then we're going to move on to tradition. But another thing in the non-negotiable categories, because the foundation of, oh, sorry, I lost myself. Two things, and then we're moving on to tradition. One of the main reasons why I advocate for local mentors is because you need people that are seeing the, even if it's not the day-to-day, but even the Sunday, the Wednesday, you know what I mean? That are seeing the week-to-week life of you and this person that you are dating, of you and this person that you're getting to know. You know what I mean? You need your mentor, your pastor, your small group leader, whoever it might be. You need them in your life to be able to be like, hey, you know what? This is not, you know, I don't know if this is God's path through. You know, I also support counseling. You know, if you guys have been on two dates, like, don't go to counseling together. I don't think that's a great idea. But like premarital counseling, sitting down with a pastor, sitting down together with your, you know, church leaders and small group leaders, another married couple in your church, in your community. I always recommend that. Someone said, I thought that she said local mentors instead of local mentors.
That's another top of Instagram live.
So the last thing that I wanted to say was another conviction, and I know this is important to a lot of people here in my Instagram community for sure, is the Bible talks about caring for the widows and the orphans. And so for me personally, the Lord really placed a heavy calling on my heart at a young age to be an adoptive mom through the foster care system. And that's something that my husband is passionate about as well. And we continue to pray for the Lord's timing as to when that's going to happen. So I know that there are a lot of people that follow me that talk about foster care and adoption as well. So this is what I want to just a quick little note not to that I hope will help understand the concept of conviction. The foundation of me wanting to help foster children, and please understand this fully, but the foundation of that is a desire to care for the orphan. Even if their, you know, parents are not deceased, but the abandoned and the vulnerable child. And so the reason why I put this in here is because a lot of people can say, you know, by a second or third date, well, he doesn't want to adopt, so I don't think that we can date him. Well, if he says that he doesn't want to adopt, maybe it's because he doesn't really understand it. Maybe it's because he doesn't want to do it. But have you asked him, does he want to care for the orphan? A lot of times we can say, well, he doesn't want to do missions trips, so I don't think I can marry him. Well, just pause. Maybe he doesn't see himself going to Africa for 2 weeks or 9 months like you do. But have you asked him if he has a heart for the vulnerable, like Jesus did? Have you asked him if there are ways that he does it? Because, and again, I know I'm speaking primarily to women because I keep saying he, but this goes for guys as well. It may be possible that he's very passionate about, you know, being on mailing lists with his friends that are missionaries and giving financially and making YouTube videos about the underprivileged and underserved, but he doesn't feel called to go there. And maybe it's possible that God put it on your heart, not telling you to get up and go, but God put it on your heart because of the foundational, the Christian principle, the conviction of it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, start a GoFundMe, raise this amount of money, and go to another country to serve people. The Bible does not have those words in it, and if your Bible does, you don't have the right one. The Bible talks about loving on the poor and serving the underprivileged. So make sure that you have not confused your passion with conviction. The Bible does not have principle for me to say, I want to be a foster mom, because the Bible doesn't use that language, but the Bible does tell me to love the orphan. So if I'm sitting around and I'm saying, well, I can't do what God has called me to do because I can't be a foster mom yet, I'm a punk, because the Word of God tells me to love the orphan, whether I'm a mom or not. So that's my thing on conviction. Convictions are important. Biblical principles, your non-negotiables need to be biblically based. They need to be able to be found in Scripture. And if they're not, it's possible that you're being picky. It doesn't mean you're being picky, but it's possible. Okay, we're going to move on. The next one is tradition, right? The next one is tradition. It's the preferred and or consistent choices of your family / friends. Your family, your friends, and or your culture. So traditions can be the traditions you intend to start. So someone said, what about people like Paul? He has specific calling to travel. So I can't get super into theology. Yes, he did have specific calling. I was saying that the Bible did not use the phrase GoFundMe. That's what I was referencing to. My daughter's almost one. I don't want to get too far off topic. So, okay. Tradition is the preferred and or consistent choices of your family, friends, or culture. Traditions can also be the traditions that you intend to start. Now, hear me out on this, right? These are things that are important to you. And while they're likely not biblical truths, you want your significant other to see the root of why these things matter and try to honor them. You know what I mean? It's 3 a.m. in Uganda and you wake up for these. Thank you, dear. That's really sweet of you. And yes, I plan on saving this. So your traditions are things that are important. And even though you might not be able to like find them in the Bible, you hope that the person that you're dating, and this goes, you know, this is like once you've kind of gone into a few dates, once you're kind of like in a relationship, you know what I mean? Like you're moving forward. You guys have been, dating for a few weeks or months or, you know, whatever the length is, but you guys are talking about this becoming a relationship or it just has become a relationship. And you start talking about that kind of stuff. So some traditions that I put, these might feel silly to you guys, but I want to remind you of these because I want to make sure you understand that these are not, I don't want anybody to get mad, but I've prayed over this. And so here we go. These are not biblical truths specifically. These are traditions. So say dressing up for church on Sunday. If you feel that that dressing up makes sense, and you've been on a few dates with someone and they feel that jeans and a t-shirt just makes sense, in my personal opinion, I don't think that that's a valid reason to break up with someone. But, you know, it's not my relationship. That's a tradition, and it's a beautiful tradition. I'm Black from the South. You know I dress up. But I live in California now. There are puppies in the sanctuary. It's very different from my Southern Baptist home. But but just because she has flip-flops on and her puppy in her lap, and I have prepared a 14-piece dress suit and hat, you know what I mean? Doesn't mean that she ain't going to heaven just because she got a puppy. I do like when people bring their dogs to church, bruh. Now it's hard on me because we have the baby, and I'm like, I don't know what that dog bites. It has teeth. But I love dogs so much. I love dogs. I'm so fantastic. Another tradition is spending holidays with your biological family. Ooh. Y'all, that's not a biblical truth. If you dating somebody, girl, if you dating somebody, and he says, I want to go to Alaska for Christmas. And you break up with him. You break up with him because he don't want to go to Mississippi. You might be single for a long time, boo. A long time. Bruh. That ain't in the Bible. The Bible don't say nothing about, and when Ashley turns 23, she is going to spend every Christmas with her mama and daddy just like she always has. No, Ashley. Mm-mm, honey. You better go to Alaska, see his cousins. You better wear a hat. I don't know anything about Alaska. Whoa. I'm so culturally relevant. Y'all, that is something that, look at how much makeup I just got on this paper. Oh, that is great. That is so much, that is so many relationships fall apart over traditions. So many relationships fall apart over traditions. And let me make it, this is even worse. So many Christian relationships fall apart because of traditions disguised as conviction. Ooh. So many of them, y'all. People want things to stay the way that they have done in their own family. And that ain't you ain't marrying your daddy. And me and you ain't marrying your mama. Bruh, I don't care that your daddy does it like this. You didn't marry your daddy. You ain't dating your daddy. So if this is something that you want and that you need, you know, speak up and say, this is important to me and this is what I really desire and this is just a passion of mine. And if they are interested and they love you and they care about you, they're as likely to be compromised in there, and it can be beautiful. but don't allow your relationship to fall apart because of a tradition disguised as conviction. Oh, well, yes, all the men in my family, they're all older than the women, so I'm not dating no younger guy. Oh, okay, so you mean that this God-fearing Christian man who can make tacos that's 7 years younger than... Okay, Jessica. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. If you get it, you get it. If you didn't, just hush. I'm sorry. You guys, I'm gonna be honest. Most of the men in my family are older than their wives. And that was something for me that was like, sorry, he better be older than me. I wanted him to be like, for a while, not the entire time of my singlehood, but there was definitely a season in my life where I was like, he's gotta be older, gotta make this kind of money, gotta have this kind of job, gotta have this kind of car. Blah, blah, blah. Bruh, my husband is 4 years younger than me, 3 years, I don't even know. He's legal, that's what matters. He's a grown legal man in his 20s. If you were born in 94, what are you, 25? Yeah, he's 25, I'm 28, okay. He is more mature than, yeah, I remember I went on a few dates a few years before my husband with this guy that was in his 30s. My husband is, and it's not that it's a comparison, but Aaron and I, you know, we've talked openly about our past. Aaron is so mature, and it blesses me so much. His spiritual maturity, his ability to live by faith, to walk by faith, to not just talk about his faith, but live in his faith and live it out. Don't get me wrong. I understand that there are things that you might want, but getting caught up in like, well, this is the way it's supposed to be done. Well, this is the way that my family has done it. You could end up missing out on a blessing. You really could. So that's your decision. Yeah. My last one on tradition, and this one I know is a touchy subject for a lot of people, so I'm gonna sit the paper down. Oh, I dropped it. Oh, I got it. I caught it in sports. Another tradition that I see very often is wanting to date within your race because that's the way your family does it. Y'all like how I stop making eye contact with y'all because I get scared. Wanting to date within your race because that's the way your family does it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting to uphold your traditions. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And as you move forward in a relationship, you will likely see certain parts of your traditions compromised. You'll start compromising on that. And I get that some of this stuff can start to cause division in families. You know, I have friends that are Black whose parents tell them, like, look, I just don't bring home anybody that's not Black. Just end of discussion. I have friends that are white, same way. It's like their parents are like, look, just don't bring home anyone that's of a different race. So I'm not so much talking about your preferences right now, but what I am saying is don't allow the traditions of your parents, the traditions of your family, and the tradition of the things that everybody around you is saying, well, this is the way it's always been done. Don't allow their traditions to affect a blessing that God could be, pouring into your life. It is possible to compromise with traditions. My birthday is around Thanksgiving, and one tradition that's very important to me, ever since I was, I think, 19 or 20, I'm not sure, but my best friend, Kristen, and I, she's single, and so we were, you know, single girls out on the town. We have every year for our birthdays, her birthday is December 7th, and my birthday is November 25th. So every year, we go on a trip. We've been to, like, Portland. We've been to Minnesota, so random, I know, but there's great stuff there, Mall of America. We've been to, the beach down in, like, Savannah area. We've had so many fun trips as, like, our big tradition. And I remember, because if you know my story, then you know that my husband and I started talking on the phone the day of my birthday. It was my 25th birthday, and Kristen and I were together, because, duh, is our birthday trip. It's like it's literally a Thanksgiving birthday trip that Kristen and I have every single year, right? And I remember Kristen saying to me, "We better have a good time tonight, because I think you're gonna marry Aaron, and this is gonna be our last girls trip. It's gonna be our last birthday trip. It's our last one." And I told her, I was like, "Don't say that. Like, don't, please, like, don't ever do that. Like, this is our tradition. We've been doing this for 5 years. Like, do not say that." And the first Thanksgiving that Aaron and I were married, we spent in Missouri with Aaron's family, and Kristen was not there. And here's the thing. Because of Kristen's acknowledgement of that I should put my husband first, and because of my desire to put my husband first, and honestly, because of the strength in our friendship that has genuinely become a sisterhood. She was the maid of honor in my wedding. I mean, Kristen is literally, she's my girl. She's my best friend. Because of that, yes, it was emotional, and yes, it was difficult, but it all made sense. Because every year, Aaron spends Thanksgiving with his family. And we did not have to do that tradition. We didn't have to do that. We wouldn't have fallen apart, you know, if we hadn't been in Thanksgiving. But Aaron hadn't spent the last couple of Thanksgivings with his family. So he was like, "Well, this will kind of be nice." And I could have easily been like, "Well, fine, I'll go do my little trip with my friend and then I'll come meet you guys there." Like, it, a lot of people do that kind of stuff. A lot of couples do that. A lot of husbands and wives, they do that. But when you are interested in pursuing a relationship and taking those next steps, you have to find compromise in your traditions. You do. It's just, it is what it is. If you're not willing to compromise, if you're not willing to be selfless, and if you're not willing to be wise, then you're not ready for a relationship. And yeah, I made the right decision by spending Thanksgiving with my husband and his family in Missouri. I'm really glad that I did. And I am so glad that Kristen and I are still best friends, even through all of that. So yeah, even through that, you know, that really big change, it was hard on us, but like hard on us in like an emotional way, like, "Oh, I miss you," but like still, you know, still really good. Someone said, "Is that more like putting your friend before your husband?" Yes, if I had been like, "I'm going on this single ladies trip and you go spend the holidays with your family." Yeah, that would have worked. And then that Christmas, we spent Christmas with my family. So Aaron and I were like, "Look, we got to find compromise in our traditions. You know, every different holidays, all the different holidays, we got to choose whose family, what state, where we're going to be, because we can't do it all." So yeah. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the fun stuff. We're going to move on to interest. And I just want to do a quick recap for anybody that hasn't been here yet. Everybody that has been here, don't worry, rise or anything. It is going to be a really quick recap. So we're talking about a list. We're talking about how picky is too picky. And I don't think that when people say, you know, you should not have a list, I don't personally agree with that, because I think that you should have some sort of standards and foundation for what you do and don't want and do and don't need. But when people say, you know, "I have a written down list under my bed and it's 14 pages, then I'm like, "Yeah, bro, that there's a problem with that." So I want to encourage you guys to find that middle ground and base it on the things that are supposed to be that are supposed to be there. And that starts with conviction. You want to make sure that you guys have the same biblical foundation. And then the second thing is tradition. Beautiful, amazing, incredible, likely beautiful and amazing and incredible things that you want to bring from your biological family into your, or your first family into your new family. And some of those things will likely need to be compromised on. The next thing that we're going to talk about is interest. And these are going to be a little bit quicker than the first two. So interest, these are your personal preferences in a partner and hopes for a relationship. Now, these things can make a good partner, but they do not define a good partner. While these things are likely very important to you, be careful of missing out on the opportunity of getting to know someone incredible whose convictions align with yours and who wants to learn about your traditions, but you won't get to know them simply because they don't check off everything on your list of interests, right? Right. Be careful that you don't miss out on someone incredible because they don't check off on your list of interests. And this is the part where I think that you are going to have to start letting things go. And that I let things go, and I'm proud that I did. Okay, sorry if that noise was really irritating. ASMR. Okay, I'm a YouTuber. So here we go. The number one thing now, well, no, scratch that. Okay, so this is the list. We've got, y'all are gonna get so mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Or if you do, just close this live and go eat some food. Don't eat food when you're mad. That's a bad habit. The first thing is height. Now, I feel like it's really annoying for me to say this as someone that's 5'7", that married someone that's 6'3", 6'2". I'm not really sure. I get that that's like, I mean, I get it. I'm a married woman with a tall husband. It's like, oh, shut up, Jamie Grace. Like, really? I know that that's a really bad word. I know I just said the S word. That's what I thought the S word was until I was like 13. But yeah. The reason why I say this, again, I want to make sure that it's clear that in this exact moment, I am not talking about marriage, okay? I want to do the reminder that I'm talking to single people, and we are talking about going on a first date, or maybe even a few more dates after. You know what I mean? So that's what I say. Now, I totally understand. For girls, I understand going on a date. Someone said, I'm not marrying someone that's shorter than me. I get that. I understand for women not wanting to date or marry someone that is shorter than you. I totally respect it. I get it and I understand. This is what I'm getting at. And it's fine. It's fine if you guys are like gonna disagree with me. It's fine. Two things. One, a God-fearing, attractive, talented, financially stable man walks into your life and he's your height or a few inches shorter and you decide and he wants to go on a date with you and you're like, well, you know, I don't think I want to do that because I'm 5'4 and he's only 5'1 or I'm 5'11 and he's 5'9. I just don't think it would be a good match. Okay. That's your prerogative. And again, this is a married woman with an over 6 foot tall husband. So I totally understand. But the only thing that I'm saying is if we're talking about a first date or like a second date, give the guy a chance. Like, he's shorter than you. He's not a murderer. Unless he is a murderer. That's different. Another thing that I want to say. Please hear me on this. This is me being genuine. You marry a man that's like way taller than you. And on your way, and I'm being dead serious. I know I goof a lot. I'm being serious here. On your way home, on your way to your honeymoon, you guys get in a car accident and he's paralyzed. And now he's in a wheelchair. I say this not to be like weird or awkward about the fact that some people are in wheelchairs, but I say this because I've watched my parents navigate through my mom's health being, you know what I mean? Like being like adjusting the structure of their marriage and adjusting how everything works. I've watched my dad go from husband and best friend to now husband and best friend and caretaker. And he's incredible at it. And I would dare say that my mom and dad have a stronger marriage now than they did before. But the reason why I say this is because the infatuation, with physical attributes, you need to remind yourself that they don't last. You marry a man for his body. If you think he gonna look the same way at 75 that he does at 22,
okay.
Weight is another one that I have on this list. Bro, weight changes. And I want to say this to the men out there. You know, I know there's women listening too. Weight changes. If you marry a woman because she looks a certain kind of way, she get pregnant, she ain't gonna look that kind of way no more. And I can say it because I grew a baby. Everybody like, where the bump pictures? Y'all ain't, I ain't trying to show y'all no bump pictures. I'm trying to take care of these hips. Stretching all over the place. I look like a zebra. A brown zebra. Ever seen a brown zebra? No, you haven't. But, like, that should not be the reason why you marry someone, why you're interested in some, ooh, why you dating somebody, why you're trying to be with somebody because they're skinny or they got a booty or they got some thighs or they got some chicken wings with some hot sauce and fries. Atlanta. Like, if that, sorry. I'm sorry. I can usually keep myself together. Oh my gosh. Why am I allowed on the internet? You guys know what worries me about this? Is that, like, yes, your comments are here and you guys are fantastic, but, like, I'm in a room by myself. I'm crazy. I have some serious ones that I want to get to, and it's like almost 6 o'clock. Oh my goodness. But don't marry someone for their body. There's nothing wrong. Please hear me out again. There's nothing wrong with wanting to date someone or marry someone that is like a little bit taller, a little bit, you know, bulky, like, oh, they look cute, they look nice. Like, you want to be like, that's important. But that someone said quarantine is getting to us all. Oh, boo. This is me. You, that stuff is nice. It's important, but it's not the foundation. We're going to keep moving here. Facial hair is another reason, like, people are like, oh, I'm interested in facial hair. Well, that could get shaved off, hun. So, you know, it's like that, like, yeah, there's that. Another, these are deep, bruh. I'm sweating up in this mug. Another interest is like wanting to have a pet or wanting to keep your pet. You get a few months into dating someone and they're like, I'm allergic to pets. And here you have this pet that is like your favorite pet. This comes from a pet lover, but it's like, be wise. Like, be wise. Now, if we're talking about this is like your emotional support dog, or your actual like support dog for something that's not emotional. You know what I mean? Something that's really important, that something that you absolutely, it's like, and you have to have this dog. Then hopefully, if he like loves you, then he would be willing to be like, you know what? Maybe I can go to my doctor and look at some allergy medicine. You know what? Someone said shave the dog, a compromise. That's y'all's decision. But on the flip side of that, if he's highly allergic to animals, then hopefully you would be able to say, you know what? I love you so much. I'm interested in pursuing it. The dog can stay at my parents' house and I'll just see it on the weekends or whatever it might be. You know, someone said, so it's that's the conversation that y'all have to have. That I can't decide that for anyone. Someone said that telling someone to get rid of their dogs is like telling someone to get rid of their child. Y'all are allowed to have your own opinions on that. I have personally raised and fostered 14 dogs. I raised 3 huskies most recently, and I loved them dearly, and I cried and my stomach ached for days when I had to make the choice to rehome them. I also have a human daughter and they are not the same thing. Those are my thoughts on that. Okay. Another thing that like might be interesting, that you might have an interest in, sorry, I hear this one a lot. Oh my goodness, I hear this a whole lot. Job/income/debt. A lot of people are like, well, I want to marry someone that does not have any debt. I want to marry someone that has a great job. I want to marry someone that has really good income. Okay, that's awesome. That's great. But I'm going to need y'all to pay attention to the wedding vows when it says for richer or for poor. It was almost like they were trying to tell y'all something. That sometimes when you're married, you might get poor. So, why you think he supposed to have it all together before you get married if he's still going to be poor once you marry him? I'm not saying that you're going to be poor when you get married. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But what I'm telling you is stop holding your dating life to a higher standard of your marriage. Ah! I need an Oregon. I gotta be careful how I keep jumping up. We know this is Instagram Live. I ain't got on the shorts appropriate for people. Except it's Aaron. That was like kind of inappropriate. I'm sorry. Bruh, don't hold your singlehood to a higher standard of your marriage. And also don't hold a significant other to a higher standard of yourself. I mean, if you've perfected it all, if you're the perfect height, the perfect weight, you have the perfect amount or the lack of facial hair, you have the perfect job, perfect income, perfect amount of debt, meaning none, you have the perfect house, you have the perfect sense of humor, you like all the right music, all the right movies, you enjoy traveling, you travel frequently, you have a pet, you want the perfect amount of kids and you have perfect goals and values and you can sing and play an instrument and can play all sports perfectly. If you can do all of that, hey, Jesus, must be you because there ain't nobody up in this life, including myself. But if y'all don't put your personal debt numbers in here. We can work on it. We're going to find another page. But if the standard is foolish, it don't make no sense. Y'all, someone said, what about the perfect car? Right, on all that list, if you've also got the perfect car. I mean, if you got all that stuff, what you trying to get a relationship for? You're so perfect. Petunia. It doesn't make any sense. I remember when Aaron and I were dating, there were so many people that I did not tell that he and I were together. I mean, literally like 6 people knew. But there were other people that once it was public, I got emails and text messages like, Jamie, why didn't you tell us that like you and Aaron were together? Like, I didn't know. I had to find out through Instagram. I was like, yes, you did have to find out through Instagram. Because, gosh, y'all. Yeah, I've shared this publicly. Yeah. Sorry. If I ever, random note, if I ever talk about like a date or something that I went on in the past, I always make sure that I've talked to Aaron about it first because I don't share anything weird publicly, but it's nobody's business. I just want to make sure I just think it's weird if I'm just like on here talking about whatever. When I was like 24, it was when I, 24, because I was getting ready to be a foster mom in Georgia. Yeah, I was 24 and I had gone on a few dates with a guy that, I mean, there's no like big story. He wasn't a terrible person. I just personally like wasn't interested, but he was a nice Christian person. And he also was about to become a doctor. He was in medical school and he had a very high chance of getting a ridiculously good job. Came from a great family and all that stuff. It was just like, I mean, it was like a thumbs up situation, but I just wasn't interested. Y'all, I had people that were like pushing me to like be okay with it because he was going to be a doctor. It was like, he was going to be a doctor. He's going to be a doctor. Wow. I was like, I don't want to date him. I don't want to date him anymore. We went on 2 dates and I don't want to go on a third one. I don't want to go anymore. What's that kid you send in my way? I'm going to be honest. I don't remember his name. I had a thing where I didn't save people's full names in my phone because I didn't want to get too attached. I don't think that's a good habit. Let's not go there. Let's not dig into my single self. Yeah. Anyways, I didn't want to date him anymore. And so then when Aaron came into the picture, I didn't want those same people being like, well, you know what I mean? Because I saw their standard. I saw that they were like, well, we want you to be with someone that makes this kind of money. We want you to be that makes this kind of money, that drives this kind of car, that has this kind of job, whose, you know, credit karma looks like this, whose income looks like this, whose bank account looks like this. But I'm like, well, but what about if I just don't like the brother? Like, well, he wasn't a brother. But like, what, like, that's not valid. So when Aaron came into the picture, there were certain people that I was like, y'all don't get to know, because y'all are going to say, well, what does he do for a living? And I'm going to say, he's a daycare teacher. And then y'all are going to say, oh, well, but little do you know, or maybe they do know, who knows, but a deep conviction and passion is my life is loving on children. So when Aaron told me that he was a daycare teacher, bruh, I was ready to marry him right away. One of my favorite scriptures in the word of God is when Jesus says, let the children come to me. So the fact that Aaron would wake up at 5 or 4 or whatever time in the morning and go love on these kids after having talked to me on the phone till 1 or 2 in the morning. And he would just serve and give these kids all that he had. That means more to me than what was in his bank account. That means more to me than what kind of car he drove. That means more to me than what kind of house he had. I was looking at his character. It was only a bonus that he was super attractive and tall. But his character is what blessed me. His character is what I was interested in. Because those were built on his conviction. Those were built on the biblical truths and the biblical principles. I just said principles. On the biblical principles that he believed in. So when people would say, Jamie, you are so picky. Yes, I was so picky. Because I wanted a man that would hear love is patient, love is kind. And I wanted him to smirk a little, to smile a little, to have a connection to that. And to know that that is the kind of man that he wants to be. And that is the kind of woman that he wants to pursue. And that is the kind of family he wants to build. And the kind of children that he wants to raise. I don't think Aaron and I talked about what we made, like financially. Aaron had no idea what I made until our engagement party. And I understand that we had a quick courtship, dating relationship, whatever you want to call it. I understand that it was a lot shorter than most relationships, but there was so much time invested. I mean, we're talking nonstop, talking all the time. And we never once talked our income. But you know what we did talk about? We talked about our goals. We talked about our dreams. We talked about our aspirations. And they weren't all the same goals and dreams and aspirations. You know what I mean? There were times where Aaron would say, I think it'd be amazing to go and do this. I think it'd be amazing to go and do that. And I'm like, well, I think it'd be cool to do this. And we'd be sitting there just dreaming together like a bunch of dreamers. But we never once talked about our finances or what was in the bank. And then did we talk about financial goals and what it would take to get there? Yes. And am I saying that you're wrong if you have those kind of conversations with someone in the beginning? No. But I'm just saying that when things of this earth, when things of this world, when material things, money included, when physical things, height, weight, build, muscles, when those things are put at the forefront, we waste a lot of time and we miss out on a lot of good. The last one on this list is infatuation. and infatuation, these are the things where the intention or the root speaks more to your character than your desires, right? This is where things can almost seem prideful, or can seem prideful. Sorry. You guys are killing me with this King David conversation. Okay. Hashtag church mother. Acting like my granny just then, which I ain't mad about. So these are things that I personally, again, I didn't say this at the beginning, I meant to. Everything that I say, I'm just asking that you take it to your prayer closet and you talk to Jesus about it as far as what makes sense for your life. I say that all the time in other stuff and I meant to say it, but that's really important. These are things that I don't personally, infatuation, these are things that like the root of it can get you messed up, bruh. The one that I have listed here is the length of time. The length of time that they've been a Christian. That's a big one, especially for Christians. And I understand, especially for women, that, you know, wanting a man who is a leader and wanting a man that can lead and guide your family, I understand how important and valuable that is. And I understand for men wanting a woman that can be just a strong, you know, I mean, I want to say lead your family, but then I know people might be like, well, what about leading and men supposed to lead? That's a whole nother conversation in and of itself. I believe that like everybody has a different leadership role in the family. We, you know, we're all children of God and we all have a different leadership role in families and friendships and relationships. So that's the best way I can explain that. But if you are living by the principle that an amount of time for someone's Christianity or walk with Jesus, yeah, someone's a length of time for someone's walk with Jesus determines how deep and rich it is, that's not right. You know what I mean? That's all I'm gonna say about that for now, because I'm like, I'm racing in my mind right now and I have so many things and it's already after 6 o'clock. So that's all I'm gonna say on that for now. Another one is race. Now, there's a whole different conversation regarding the kind, like, you know, if you wanna marry someone within your race, wanna marry someone without your race, or without, outside of race, you know, whatever that is. I understand, like, especially for, you know, the times that we're in. Someone said if he or she has been a Christian for 3 months, and then they put a bunch of dots. So I'll finish that sentence for you. If he or she has been a Christian for months and they are a follower of Jesus, just as you are, they are a sinner saved by grace. And it's a beautiful thing. I hope that helps. So when it comes to race and culture, especially with the, well, I want to say with the times that we are in now, but I haven't changed much. Bro, I understand as a Black person in this world that they're like, I understand as a Black person in this world, like when it comes to dating and relationships, it can be really scary and overwhelming. And I know that some people might totally disagree with me, and that's fine. But even when it comes to making friends, it is sometimes hard when there might be certain things that affect you or make you feel some type of way that don't affect someone else. So the thing that I would say to that is just like, and this is, again, this is not in the infatuation part. I'm just speaking on race specifically because there's something else that I want to say in regards to infatuation with race that I really hope that you guys will stay to listen to. But what I'm getting at is we're talking couple dates, getting to know someone, you know what I mean? And if they are outside of your race and they are showing a willingness to learn and to grow, or they are even at a place where they have already learned and they have already grown, I think that's, it can be a beautiful thing. My husband is Black. I'm Black. My sister is Black. My sister's husband is white. So we have, you know, open, painful, beautiful, amazing conversations all the time. And they're about different things. And so for my sister and I both, neither of us ever went into our marriages or dating our husbands thinking, oh, I want to marry a white guy, or oh, I want to marry a Black guy. Neither of us cared at all. It was just, I want to marry a God-fearing man. That's also attractive and wants kids, you know, it's like, you know, and a few other things. But yeah, so that was really important. But it was also important to us that we did see, you know, that we did see some, have some similarities when it came to race, and we talked about that stuff. And yeah, someone said, I want to date within my race because it's easier. Bridging the cultural gap is hard. I get that. I understand that. Yeah, so my brother-in-law is, he's Hawaiian, Chinese, and white. And so I don't downplay the fact that he's mixed race at all, but I just follow his lead when it comes to, like, when he talks about his race. So sometimes he'll be like, yeah, I'm white. But sometimes he says, yeah, I'm Hawaiian. And sometimes he says, yeah, I'm Chinese, because he's all three. So I just follow his lead. He's mixed culture, multiracial. But yeah, but he's not Black. And so there are times where there are conversations to be had, but also, like, he's passionate about Black culture and things like that. My sister's passionate about Hawaiian culture. You see what I mean? So I would not encourage anyone to step toward an interracial relationship acting like race doesn't matter and acting like it's good to be colorblind, because it's not. Because if you look at me and don't see that I'm Black, then you're missing one of my favorite things about my identity. So, like, don't look at me and say you're colorblind. But if you're stepping into an interracial marriage or interracial relationship, try as hard as you can to learn about them and learn about, you know, what makes them them and what makes their culture a part of their culture. So this is what I wanted to say about infatuation with race. Sometimes I know that there are people that think, oh, I want to marry a Black man because, like, I've heard this sentence. I want to marry a Black man because I'm obsessed with Africa, and I'm obsessed, like, I've done missions trips in Africa, and so I really like Black people. You know what I mean? Like, it's an infatuation with Black people and race, as opposed to, you know what I mean? Like, that's when race, the infatuation with it is very inappropriate. I've had Black friends say things like, I want to marry a white man because I want my kids to have a certain kind of hair, or I want their skin to be a certain shade. If your fascination, if your desire to marry a certain race is because, if your desire to marry a certain race is because of, like, what you think you can get out of it, then your desire is not a desire, it's an infatuation or borderline an obsession that likely stems from an insecurity about your own skin color and your own identity. And that's a problem. So don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. It's, like, really inappropriate and creepy and weird. So don't do that. Another thing with infatuation is, like, finances and wealth. It's like, ooh, I want a man with a big house, you know, a Mercedes and all this stuff. Oh, I hear Bella. I'm almost done, bub. You can come in if you want, babe. You know, I want a man with like a bunch of money and all this kind of stuff. It's like, that speaks more to, like I said this before, it speaks more to your character than your desires. It's perpetuating a concept of greed. And that's not okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting him to be financially conscious or even desiring that. You might meet a man that is... Bella, you can come in. You can send her in, babe.
I was trying to wait till...
Oh, okay. I'm almost done. You can, like... I don't know. There's nothing wrong with, like, desiring... Oh, yeah. You can meet a man that's, like, right on the verge of, like, taking a financial course or, like, learning more about money or something like that. And there's, like, that's amazing. And if you think, like, oh, well, he's 20, he's 21, he should have a way better concept of money by now. Like, okay. Fine then. Knock the man down for trying to learn, trying to grow. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, that's not wisdom at all. So, infatuation is just where things are just doing the most. As well as infatuation, another one that I had in there is level of education. That's like, oh, well, I need him to have a master's degree. I need him to have, you know what I mean? I need him to have an education that's this high, that's this much. Then, like, the foundation of that is that you are prior, you are saying that his intellectual ability is based on his educational experiences. So what about the guy that graduates from high school at 17 and goes on the mission field for 10 years and then moves back to Florida at 27 and realizes that he wants to get married and start a family because he doesn't have a Lexus and a degree? He's not worth like that at all. Or what about the guy that dropped out of like fourth grade to provide for his family because his parents passed away and there was no other way for him to support his family. And now he's 35 and his siblings are all, you know, growing up and learning. And I watched this YouTube video last night of this 19-year-old kid and he's homeless. He's been homeless since he was in like middle school. So he's not in, he didn't get his high school diploma, I think, yeah. I always get the words diploma and degree mixed up. Even though I have both, I don't know what they are. I do know what they are. I just get the words mixed up. But he's, you know, he's 19 years old. He was 19 years old at the time of the video. He's homeless and he has 5 kids that he looks after. And they were just asking him what were his dreams in the world. And he was saying that his dreams would be for one, for everybody to be equal. And then he said his second dream and then he goes, wait. Sorry, my first dream should be my second dream, but my actual first dream would be to have a wife and kids. And it was like a nice looking dude. And I thought to myself, this guy's homeless. Someone said they saw the same video. Yeah, I think YouTube is telling us to watch it. No, they were not his kids. They were 5 other homeless children that he looks after. And I thought about it for a second. I'm like, hypothetically, this guy gets him a part-time job and he starts working his butt off, or someone blesses him with an apartment for 2 months. And so he's able to, you know, start getting back on his feet. I thought about this guy and I was like, you know, what if he comes to know Jesus? So like, let's fast forward 6 months. I mean, he's got like a place, or maybe he doesn't have a place. Maybe he's staying with a family from a local church. He's digging into this Bible. I was just thinking about this kid of where he could be, but also where he was at the exact moment of that video. And I thought to myself, he was able to just articulate and say out loud, I want a wife and I want kids. How many women are waiting for a man to say that? But because he does not have a car or an education by America's standards, or a house, like, you know what I mean? Like, how, I don't know, like, how many women would turn down this what I would, from my perspective, could be a really great guy just because he doesn't have all the things on the list. So, conviction are the things that are like non-negotiable, right? The things that are like gotta, based on my biblical, like foundational truths. And then we've got tradition, the preferred or consistent choices of your family, friends, or culture. Things that you really desire, but you might have to compromise on, and same with him. And then you've got interest. The stuff that's like, it's cool to like. I want a guy that's, you know, tall, short. You know, I want a guy with a little bit more love on him. I want a guy that, you know, whatever it might be. And then it's like infatuation. You know what I mean? The stuff that it's like, yo, get yourself together. What is the root of this? Why do you want a guy that has a lot of money? Oh, because I want a guy that knows how to manage his money. Well, then say that. There are people that don't have a ton of money that know how to manage their money. It's like, why do you want a man with a lot of money? Oh, because I want a man that's rich because I want to lay on my butt and never work again. And because I want to be on Instagram flexing. Okay, well then we have some root issues to work on. So look at the root. Look at the intention, my favorite word. Before Justin Bieber said it. That's a good song. Look at the intention behind these things in your heart. The intention behind all this stuff. And, you know, see where it lies with your convictions, which are honestly the most important things. I gotta go. It's almost 6:20. I love you guys. Thanks for staying. Let's hope, let's pray that I get to save this. Sometimes Instagram is cray. Let's pray it works. I love you guys much. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to the Jamie Grace podcast. It really does mean a whole lot to me, and I'm so glad that you are here. Whether you found this podcast because you were trying to check out a podcast, or you're listening to this podcast because you're on a road trip and someone's making you, and you're kind of just waking up because you fell asleep in the middle of it, and now you're wondering, why in the world are you still listening to it when this is the outro and it's still being played? Or maybe you're listening to this podcast because you're a faithful listener and I owe you so much. So thank you. Truly, I really do appreciate it. Look, I just want to say, well, I was about to say if you could please leave a review on iTunes, but then I realized I just said that I owe you so much. And then I was asking a favor and I could backtrack it and try to figure out what I could give you, but I gotta move forward. So leave a review on iTunes if you like it, because I really appreciate when you guys do. And honestly, I do want to serve you guys in any way that I can. And I love when you guys are so gracious enough to ask me for advice. So if you want to send in a question, download the free app Anchor, A-N-C-H-O-R. You can record an audio message and you can ask a question, try to keep it under a minute, and I can answer it here on the podcast. Thank you guys so much for trusting me with your stories, with your time. It means so much to me. Please hit me up on Instagram at Jamie Grace H. And if you're listening to the podcast, please tag me in your stories so that I can post you in mine and say thank you. It really does mean the world to me. I'll talk to you guys soon. I don't know where I was about to go with that. Okay, bye.
People now, but one thing still remains, that I was made to be a little different, not ordinary. I don't fit in with everybody, but I stand for who I am and who I'm made to be. A little different, not ordinary. I don't fit in with everybody, but I stand for who I am and who I'm made to be. And at the end of the day, when fads and fashion fade, one thing will remain, that I'm a little different. Oh, oh, oh. Different. Oh, 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 I'm a little different.